I'm glad to see everyone here. I don't know everyone in the meeting. That's wonderful to have visitors. It's a great thing. You're most welcome to be here. I'm continuing in the message that I had last week, and I'm just going to finish up, and someone else will speak, Lord willing, next week. I'd like to talk about the seven judgments. There are seven main judgments. There's always judgment in the Bible. But let me say again, first off, judgment is God's strange work. God does take no pleasure in judging sin. He never did. Never will. Sometimes people can be vindictive and get pleasure out of demonstrating that they were right and others were wrong, but God isn't that way. God is God. In fact, the Bible says he's not like us at all. He says we're created in his image in the sense that we don't look like him. We're physical. The Bible teaches in John's Gospel, chapter 4, that God is a spirit. He's not a man. In the Old Testament, it says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. So God is not a man. But he did send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the earth to become a man in order that as man he may die for man's sin. Now the Lord Jesus Christ never could have sinned because he was always God manifested in the flesh. The Bible is very clear about that. There was no sin in him, the Bible says. He was holy. That means holy as God is holy. We can be holy people, and we should be. If we're saved, we should be holy people. That means set apart for God. That's what the word holiness means, set apart for God. But the Lord Jesus Christ had the very holiness of God the Father. He never left it behind in heaven when he became a human. He was always 100% God. He was not half God and half man. He was the God-man, 100% God and 100% man at the same time. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. In other words, God is not going to explain to you how that could possibly be, that a man could be a man and God at the same time. It's a mystery that God does not reveal in the Bible. So God doesn't expect us to understand it. God expects us to believe it. Now, if any of us have children, you may tell your child a certain thing, do this or don't do that. You don't expect that child to understand it, but you do expect that child to obey. And if that child does obey, of course, you told it for his own good. That child will be blessed and safe. However, if the child rebels and does not listen, it could result in a catastrophe, a death in the family, in fact. That's what happened to me. I almost died. I was telling somebody last week what happened. I was only a child, a very young child, and I remember it quite well because it was traumatic, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And I almost got killed. A truck. All I remember is the wheels in front of my face and everybody behind me screaming. And it set it in my mind for the rest of my life. And even then I didn't understand what was really going on. But it was a catastrophe in the making. Thankfully, and I am thankful, that God preserved me many times in my life. And perhaps you have the same experience. You can look back to a time where you say, oh, I should have died, or this should have happened, or that should have happened, but thank God it didn't. So God is a wonderful God, and he's not there to be your enemy. In matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, referring to himself, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life can be had through simple faith in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, our Lord, can take you home to heaven? If you're not saved, heaven is not your home. You may have a home here on the earth, but heaven is not your home. In fact, as far as God's concerned, you're not in possession of a home, you're homeless. God cannot allow you into his heaven unless your sins have been cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no other way of salvation according to the Bible, and that is when God has to judge sin. And that brings us to our topic, judging. For the Christian, I'll say it out right now, you may call yourself a Christian, and you can call yourself anything you want and get away with it, but it's what God really thinks about us. Does God call us Christians, Christ ones? That's what the word Christian means, Christ one. Has there ever been a day when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and him only, not Jesus Christ plus going to church or plus praying? It's the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. God will not accept anything else for your salvation. It means you have to trust on him. And it's a simple thing to trust in a way, because even a child can do it. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, except you receive him as a little child would. You don't have to lose your intelligence. You just simply have to believe what the Lord Jesus says just because he said it. That's all faith in God is. I believe God. There's nothing complicated about it. Just because God said so, I believe it. I knew a man once that I thought could do no wrong. And everything he said, I believed. Because I knew that man. And he was a good man. But I found out that he was a sinner just like me. And he had his faults. But the more you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and learn about him, the more you find out there is nothing evil about him. There's no sin in him. There's nothing wrong with him. He's perfectly clean. The more you know him, the more you appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never be disappointed in him. The person of Christ is equal to the person of God the Father. Imagine that someone like that could walk on the earth and eat the same food that we do and breathe the same air that we do and yet be perfect without sin. No one could ever accuse him of anything. And they lived with him. And you don't know anybody till you live with them. And there were people who lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, I find no fault in him at all. Now, that doesn't make someone easy to live with, because when you see a faultless person, if you ever do see someone that seems to be faultless, you say, oh, I don't look too good compared to him. And you kind of resent them. And that's exactly what happened to the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. They resented him. They didn't believe on him. And so he was a perfect man, and he was never at home here on the earth. Heaven was his home, and God sent him down for one purpose. First of all, for 30 years, not in public, but in private, he demonstrated what God planned for man. He was the perfect man. This is what we should have been, except for sin that was found in us. We were born sinners. We sin because we are born as sinners. I used to say to some little kids, I say, birds have to fly, fish have to swim, and people have to sin. It's just our nature to do that. We have a fallen nature. You don't have to teach a little child how to be bad. They pick it up on their own. It comes from within. They're geniuses at it. I love children. But let's face it, we're all sinners. You have to correct them. You have to teach them to behave, how to be good. So we all understand that we are all sinners by nature, but the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned. Now, why is that important? It is because God had to judge the Lord Jesus Christ. God always judges sin. Always has, always will. He has to judge sin. But here's the thing. The Lord Jesus said, God so loved the world that he had sent his only begotten Son, talking about himself, that whosoever believeth on him, that means you, whosoever means anybody and everybody, should not perish but have eternal life. You were never born to go to hell. You never were. The reason why God created you, and it's in the Catholic Catechism, and I suppose in the Lutheran, and so many other traditions of religion, that you were meant for God's good pleasure. That's why you were born and created. But what happens? Sin comes into the picture, and God knows that. He let you be born anyway. He created each one of us. But what happens? God sent, one time and for all, the Lord Jesus Christ to bear away your sin. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. That's in the verse there. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. The rest of the verse reads, and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news, and that's how you get saved, by trusting that for your eternal salvation, not your good works. God already doesn't want your good works. He says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, you wouldn't bring filthy rags into the sight of the Queen of England, and you certainly wouldn't do it before God. Don't bring your filthy rags or my filthy rags into the presence of God as payment for your sin. You can't pay for your sins. You can be judged for your sins, but you can never pay for them. That's why hell lasts forever. And God says that. It's hell and then the lake of fire. We'll get to that in a minute. Here's the thing, what God says in the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Saved from what? Judgment. Do you know that your sins were already judged in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's turn to the Bible if you have one there. Or if you're not familiar with the Bible, someone will help you next to you. They'll show you what the Lord Jesus Christ said about it. And it's a verse we read last week in John chapter 12, verse 31. John's gospel is a wonderful gospel. It's unique among the four gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. John is really a unique gospel. The others are called synoptic gospels because they are all pretty much showing you different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the other gospel. Why are there four gospels? It's because each gospel shows you a different aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in Matthew, it's the gospel of Christ the King. In Mark's gospel, it emphasizes the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God. In Luke's gospel, it emphasizes the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. But in John's gospel, it emphasizes him as the Son of God. And I believe that more people have John as their favorite gospel because not only is he the Son of God emphasized in this gospel, but it's more of a personal thing. God is a personal God. He's the God of all the universe. He's the creator of all things. But he wants to be your God. And that is emphasized in John's gospel. And a lot of people see that and they really find it appealing. So I think We'll go into John's Gospel. Look at what the Lord Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 31. We've already quoted John 3:16, but I'll back up to verse 28. And the Lord Jesus spoke, and he says, Father, talking to God the Father now, his Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. See it? That's God the Father speaking. There were three times from the scriptures that God spoke from heaven concerning his Son. And this is one of them. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. None of them recognized the voice of God. But Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. God wanted them to hear it. Now, here's the verse. Now is the judgment of this world. There's a judgment. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who's that? That's Satan. It's not Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. The prince of this world is the devil. The Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as a lightning bolt, not into hell, but onto the earth. That's what the Lord Jesus said. That's where Satan is. He's on the earth, not in hell. He's not in charge of hell. God is in charge of hell. God is in charge of everything. And he put Satan, as he was called Lucifer, now he is called Satan, and the word Satan means adversary. He's your adversary, and he's my adversary. And he's God's adversary, and he's the adversary of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was cast, there was war in heaven, and he was cast onto the earth. That's what the Lord Jesus said. When did he see that happen? Before he came to the earth as a man, he was in heaven. He was pre-incarnate. He was always in the glory. Remember who he is. He is God, the Son. Always has been, always will be. And he took upon himself the form of a man, ultimately because God has a rule. And it's never been broken. God says, this is the rule and this is it. God says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can talk to any hematologist, any doctor that specializes in blood, and they will tell you the life of the flesh is in the blood. They'll go right along with what God says in the Bible on that point, at least. And they'll say, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Here's what God says also. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness, if you will, no remission of sin. Now, what if I were to die for my own sins? Suppose I just said, well, I want to be right with God. I want to go to heaven. I should just die for my sins, and I'll hire somebody to execute me. Would I go to heaven? No. No matter if all my blood was spilled, it would not be enough, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is a catch-22. The life of the flesh is in the blood, but your blood and my blood is not good enough to appease God. That's what it says. And God says, now, what do I do? Well, God knew what he was going to do. You might say, what am I going to do? But God knows. So what God did, he sent his Son. And Lord Jesus took upon himself, the Bible says, the form of a servant. He became a man. And he grew up before God, the Father, and the human race at that time, without sin. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. When John the Baptizer saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The reason why the Lord Jesus is called the Lamb of God is it's God's sacrifice. The sacrificial lamb. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he lived a sinless life, spotless life before God and man. And then when the time came, who was responsible for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus? God the Father was. Don't blame the Jews and don't blame the Gentiles. Don't blame anybody. No ethnic group was responsible for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was God the Father. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Bible says God the Father delivered him up to be crucified. Now, when he was on that cross, that's what he's talking about, the judgment. In verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. In verse 33, it says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that he was going to die on a cross. Now, that was prophesied way back in Psalm 22, 700 years before it actually happened. Crucifixion had not even been invented by that time. So we see the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. The first thing the Lord Jesus said was, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he says in Psalm 22, it continues, it is because God's eyes are holy and cannot look upon sin. Will you stand before God in your sins? Will I? No, I won't. Neither will anyone who has been trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for the salvation of your precious soul. God knows what you're thinking. The psalmist says, thou knowest my thoughts afar off. There's nothing hid from God. Even though he cannot look upon sin and countenance it at all, that's why he turned away from the Lord Jesus, his own son. If you think God will not send you to hell, and he won't, you'll send yourself to hell by denying his son. You won't be able to stand in his presence. You'll have to go. If you think that God won't let that happen to you, you are greatly mistaken. Because God allowed his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be the sin bearer for my sins and your sins. Do you know the sins of the whole world are already paid for? Did you know that? But if you don't receive it, you don't have it. That's what it talks about when it says, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about getting the host on your tongue. I was a Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I come from a very Catholic family. It was the family business to run a Catholic religious store. We had a chain of them throughout the Midwest. I had two aunts that are nuns that went to British Honduras as missionaries. They were there for over 50 years. Now, the Bible teaches the Lord Jesus Christ is not confined in any way, in any kind of a wafer or anything else. The Bible teaches, the Catholic Bible teaches, by the way, I've read that. I have one. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's physically seated at the hand of the Father, the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Catholic Creed says that. The verse behind me says, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How is that possible if he's physically in heaven? It is the Spirit of Christ, the indwelling Christ, that happens when we're born again. The reason why you have to be born again is because none of us were born right the first time. Remember the illustration about the child who needs to be taught how to be good? That doesn't erase that child's sin. He still has a sin nature. I still have a sin nature, and I'm saved. Been saved for over 40 years. But I also have a new nature. I have Christ dwelling in me. That's in Romans chapter 8. I'll allude to it again. Romans chapter 8. Read it carefully. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwelling us, along with the new nature that we have when we're born again. Now, we still have the old nature. I can still sin, but I try not to. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So when the Lord Jesus Christ was judged for your sin and my sin at Calvary, I received it at a certain point in my life. I was a young person, and I received it. I received the gift of eternal life. My sins were forgiven. They were under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have that if you want it. You must agree with God against yourself. Picture a court of law if it's helpful. And you come before the judge, who happens to be God, and you say, I'm guilty as charged, and I throw myself on completely on your mercy, and I'll do anything for forgiveness. I have nothing in my favor. Put yourself in that position, and then God says, well, my son's going to have to take your punishment for you. And you say, okay, I'll do it. And it means he's going to be your Lord for the rest of your life and for all eternity. That means your boss. And if you understood what the punishment for your sins is, you would gladly accept it. Here's the problem why most people are not saved. They don't understand one thing, the holiness of God. Without that, without some inkling, some knowledge of the holiness of God, and your utter unholiness, you will never get saved. You will never come to Christ. You'll go into hell is what will happen. You'll live your life here and die of something, and you'll end up in hell. Christ said, if you die in your sins, this is the Lord Jesus who loves you. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Now, that's what he said. Now, some people get angry at God. They say, why did this happen to me? Why did God let that happen? What kind of God would do that? I hear this all the time. It's not original with anyone. They question God. Listen, friend, nothing you could ever go through was ever as bad as what the Lord Jesus Christ went through at Calvary. Why did God let that happen? The Lord Jesus said it. Again, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I can't understand that kind of love. Can you? I wouldn't give one of my kids, and I'm a Christian, for somebody that hated me. But the way God gets rid of his enemies is that he makes them his children. A lot of people get rid of their enemies in this life, but they don't do it that way. God is the only one to ever get rid of his enemies by making them his children. I was an enemy of God. I thought he hated me, and I hated him until I got saved. Then I understood. I thought the gospel was too good to be true. Just take it and just live a happy life under God's blessing and under his smile. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I always knew that. That's right. It's true. There isn't. Even the law of physics, there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. Something's got to start it, and something has to keep it going. There is no such thing as a free lunch. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your lunch. Let's put it that way, if I can say it reverently. He paid for your lunch, and you have to accept it or you don't have it. And you have to accept it on his terms. His terms. So, all right, there's the judgment for our sins. That had to be first. And I'm going to skip for the sake of time. I got 5 minutes. Let me go right to the end. The last judgment, final judgment. And I'm going to go, there's other judgments, judgments for Christians. Christians will never have to answer for your sin. Do you know that? You'll never have to answer for your sin. Some of the things you're ashamed of and I'm ashamed of, they'll never be brought up again. Isn't that wonderful? All new. Behold, I make all things new. Everything is new. We're new creatures in Christ. Listen to what God says. He'll never bring your sins up again because they were paid for. Ever. No matter what you've done, doesn't matter. It's under the blood of Christ. Some of the horrible sins are in the news right now as we speak. Horrible things that people have done. Christ died for those sins. It's not likely that the people who did them will ever receive salvation. Once you get to that point, you're pretty hard. You won't trust Christ. You don't trust anybody. You don't even like yourself. Don't even trust yourself. You trust nobody. You've already gone past that point. God says in the Bible, my spirit will not always strive with man. There's a deadline. Once you go past that point, and I don't know what it is, God knows. Once you go past that point, you're past that point. And that's what, and just leave it at that. Here's the last judgment that every unsaved person has to go through. You either let Christ take your sins in his own body on the tree, or you're going to take them. Here it is. This is, you know, the reason why God does this, he's not putting a gun to your head. He doesn't do that. He tells you what it is. And you have to deal with it. In a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, God says this, come now, not later. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, God is actually trying to reason with us. Imagine God lowering or taking a stoop to reason with one of his creatures. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be white, though they be red like crimson, that's murder, they shall be as white as snow. He'll cleanse them. He'll make you able to stand in his sight, and you won't have to climb behind somebody behind you and try to get out of his sight. You'll be able to stand before God. He's holy. He never changes. He's always been holy. But you'll be holy. Now, some people won't do that because they love their sin too much. There was a man on the Titanic. I heard about it. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. He had a gold belt, one of those money belts, and he had little pouches in there, and it had gold coins. And gold is very heavy. You know what? He wouldn't leave it behind. He took it with him because he loved his gold. He jumped. He thought he could outswim the weight of that gold. No, he didn't. He went right down. The same thing happens with your sin. If you love your sin, that sin will take you right to the bottom, and you'll die. And God says so. Look at the book of the Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And why does God say this? There's a lot of things that are probably not written in the Bible that are going to happen. And you're going to see them if you go to heaven. And God doesn't describe very much hell. He says it's a bad place and you should avoid it at all costs. And you don't get a real documentary about the lake of fire. What does he say? He says this. It's a great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, the apostle John, the same one who was with the Lord Jesus on the earth and was there at the crucifixion, in Revelation, it's only Revelation, not plural, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is what that revelation is. And it says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it. Now, who's that that sat on it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one that died for your sins. He's sitting on the great white throne. How do I know it's the Lord Jesus? It doesn't say that here. It says that all authority, all judgment has been given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that. He said, it's all been given to me. God designated me to be the judge over all the earth and over everything else. And he says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And look at this. This is where you come in if you're not saved. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand. Dead people standing? Oh, yes. Stand before God. That's the Lord Jesus, God the Son. And the books were opened. What book is that? One of them is a copy of this right here. I got in my hand and you got in your hand, if you're reading this. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, there's more than one book of life. There's the book of life that everybody has that records everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever thought, and everything you've ever said. How do I know that? Read on. There's the Lamb's book of life. When you person gets saved, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the Lord Jesus' book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. More than one book. God's word will judge you. The Bible will judge you. Do you measure up to the Bible? I don't. But my righteousness is not in me. My righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows very well when I got saved, and he knows I'm one of his children. According to their works, that's where the book of life comes in, that everybody has their own book of life. According to your works, everything you've done, that's your mind, what you think, what you say, and what you do, it's written down, it's recorded, they've got it on tape. Let's put it that way. And it's right there. Everything. 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 You forgot it. God remembers that it's recorded. According to your works. These are the unsaved dead. Not the Christian, the unsaved dead. Now, I hate to be harsh like this. I don't like this. And I don't like reading about this. I'm not going to be there, but you may be if you're not saved. I don't know if you're saved or not. I have no idea. My responsibility is to give out the gospel, and then the rest is between you and the Lord. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I thought hell was the same thing. No, hell is the jail. The lake of fire is the prison. People die now, they're not in the lake of fire. They go to hell if they die in their sins. And then death and hell and those people are all put into the final prison, which is the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that's God's book of life. It doesn't say that here, but that's what it is. It's not your book of life. You're already written in that. But it's the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to close. There's been enough gospel there. God doesn't actually have to tell you anything, but he has told us quite a bit. And the ball is in your court, as they say today. And it's up to us to do something about it. And that may be the only warning you get. But if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible promises, God promises, the Lord Jesus promises, the Holy Spirit promises eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're glad that the gospel invitation goes out, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Father, we're so happy that he did that, although, Father, we know it caused thee pain and him pain. And Father, sometimes it causes us pain when we think about it. We ask thee, Father, to have people search themselves, and Father, through thy word, and Father, make a decision for eternity. Bless those who are already saved. We thank thee, Father, for the opportunity for the gospel, and we ask thy blessing upon this meeting, for we ask it in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.